Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be together under various circumstances, but we're together to talk about our favorite subject, one of our favorite subjects. And we're going to be just opening up the service with singing "When I Think About the Lord." And, you know, sometimes just the thought of Him just kind of comes in at some random moment, or it just transforms my whole day, and you know, just moment by moment with Him. So, what about you, Flamina?
There are times I'm working in the kitchen and I just need to pick me up, so I tell Alexa to play that song, and I have a ball in the kitchen. We trust His blessing. Oh, please do sing.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Valley Brook. We want to give a special welcome to all our first-time viewers and visitors. We are so happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Those at home may click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card. Please take a few minutes to complete it to help us pray for you, as well as to notify you of future Valley Brook events. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the service. Streaming the Sunday service, which usually works, we have three options for viewing our Sunday service virtually. You can go to the website and click on the streaming tab. You can come directly to the stream by bbccstream.com, or you can go to our Facebook page at BBCC Online to connect. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab or streaming tab on our website, and we will be happy to lift you up. Also join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for our Power Hour of Prayer. The phone number and access code are located on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. For your convenience, you may contribute on site through our giving tab or mail your donation to our office address that's listed on the back of the bulletin. Prayer support for those impacted by domestic violence and breast cancer. October is Domestic Violence and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. In support of this effort, the Power Hour of Prayer on October 20th will take time to pray with anyone impacted by these life-altering events. Elder Grace White and First Lady Laverne Beatty will be online to pray with those in attendance. Please feel free to join us in prayer if you are able. Please see the church bulletin for dial-in information. Accessing our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. Outreach Ministry. The committee is hoping to include a note for prayer in each blessing bag they are preparing for the homeless. See today's bulletin for information on how you can help with this effort, as well as a preview of Thanksgiving plans. The Joy of Living Holiday Baskets. On December 24th, we will be delivering holiday baskets to families in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Howard County. We need extra sleighs to make deliveries to 1,000 families. You will have help loading your car with food and gifts for 3 to 4 families. Each driver should have 1 to 2 helpers. Plan to access to a GPS or smartphone address, and instructions for deliveries will be provided. Deliveries are in close proximity to each other. We estimate that you should be able to complete your deliveries within 2 hours. Please see today's bulletin with more information on how you can help. This is a great experience for the entire family, especially children. COVID precautions. Valley Brook takes the safety of our members and visitors very seriously. In line with our commitment to comply and even go beyond CDC requirements, we have embraced numerous protocols, which you may find listed in today's bulletin. Please receive Robert Craig, who will lead us in today's offertory prayer and scripture reading.
Good morning, church family. It's so good to see those who are here. Miss those who are not. I am going to be reading Psalm 146. I do have to say that I am grateful that the Lord is never having technical difficulties. So, praise the Lord, and is a phrase that the psalmist uses many times. This is Psalm 148, and he used that phrase for praise him, and even one time he used, let them praise the name of the Lord. He used that 8 times in that psalm, he uses it 3 times in this psalm. But so I will start reading. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On the very day that plans come to nothing, blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Amen. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord will be ailing and sustain the fatherless and the widow. Amen. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's praise the Lord. Let's give him thanks and glory. We praise you, Father. We thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise we can possibly muster in our fleshly selves. We thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for showing your grace to us. We thank you for having mercy upon us. We thank you for all the things you give to us. Yesterday I was thinking about the birds, how you feed them. And I was had put some seed down for my customers, and I stopped by to take a look, and there are the birds were eating my seed. So you take care of them. Through me sometimes, but you take care of them. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise that you love them so much, and yet you love us so much more. We give you the honor. Thank you for what you've given to us, that we may give a little bit back to honor you, to praise your name, and also to help others, that they may know you, and come to give praise to you. In the name of Jesus, we give you the honor. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord, there's one way to describe it, you know, the experience is that it's sweet. And, you know, Don was just mentioning when he came in, he said, I had a really good time with you all yesterday. And I said, yeah, right back at you. It was wonderful. And even though we're by Zoom and, you know, in our different homes, it's still a sweet spirit when believers get together. So sing this old song with us and
Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Hat and Brother Robert Craig and Flamina and Grace for just prepping us this morning. And thank you for struggling with the technology back there, Marlo. We appreciate your work and your effort and your frustration. Technology is wonderful until it's not. And it is extremely irritating to me. And my wife knows that I sat next to her and she's rubbing my back because she knows what's going on. You know, I'm trying to be in a good spot. And so she's rubbing my back and it'll be all right. It'll be all right. But this is a confidence builder. You know, I was talking about this a few weeks ago, that a confidence builder is something that may give you a whole lot of confidence that everything's going okay, but it builds our confidence in the Lord's ability to be able to work with what is and to trust him to do what he wants to do and accomplish what he wants to accomplish despite our plans going awry. It says, in everything give thanks. So this is a thing. So thank you, Lord. All righty. I'm going to jump into the message this morning. Thank you very much, Lee. And you believe it or not, this is Heavenly Promises for Help on Earth, Part 3. I thought it was a two-part series, but then I discovered that there is still meat on the bones of this this theme, and I wanted to share some of those extra pickings with you this morning, if you will. So let's look at our text again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and let's read that together. You read along silently. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God, thank you, Jesus, the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Amen. Let's take a moment and commit this text and the following exposition of it to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for blessing us this morning. We thank you for what is. In everything, give thanks, and we give you thanks for where we are right now. Not just in terms of the technology of this morning and all of that, but look where we are individually in you. We thank you for where we are right now. It may not be our optimal spot. There's always more we can be. There's always more we can do. There will always be more we can aspire to. But we want to say thank you for the work you have done in our lives to this point. Thank you for how you have brought us to this place where you have revived our spirits time and time again, and you encouraged us, and you have instructed us, and you have set us our feet on a large path. And we ask that you would bless us now, Lord, as we look into your word with a next step, the next step in this glorious journey with you. Tailor these truths to our own individual needs. Apply them to our own individual situations. Lord, touch our hearts in the way your spirit knows we need to be touched. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So that's the text, and the main idea is the same one we've had for the past 3 weeks. God has heavenly promises for help on earth. We're continuing our theme about the human experience and how to integrate our spirituality with our humanity and how to function in a godless world in a godly way. And so that is what the whole theme is about. And we're going to continue that this morning. God has given us heavenly promises for help on earth. That's the main idea. Now, the Lord's precious promises, as we think about this, they're not just for future blessings, although it does include that. Promises that God is going to do something for us in the future, but they also include everything that he's given us already in Christ and because of Christ. In other words, what he has promised, we now have. What he has promised, we now have in Christ, as well as those future promises that have yet to be fulfilled. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, as many as may be the promises of God, no matter how many promises God has made, it says, in Christ, they are yes. They are yes. So you have access, we have access to God's future promises, and we have access now to what he has promised because we have Christ. Everything we've been given in Christ helps us to partake in the divine nature, is another way of translating this. That's his precious promises. So everything that we've been given in Christ helps us to partake of the divine nature. God wants his promises to be instrumental in helping us to partake of the divine nature. Let me just say this. I believe this message is doomed to failure. And the reason why this message is doomed to failure is because I will not be able to explain to you what I'm about to say. I'm going to talk to you about it. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it all I got. Pray for me. I'm prepared. I'm excited. My wife saw me pacing this morning. She said, oh, he's excited. She said, look at him. But despite my excitement, I'm going to tell you up front, this message is doomed to failure. When Moses saw that bush burning, but it wasn't consumed, it was so compelling, he couldn't turn away from it. He couldn't explain it. But the glory of that event was so immense and so attractive and so unbelievable that it just drew him in. That's how I feel about what I'm about to share with you. I see it. It's amazing. I can talk about it. But I can't explain it, and yet it's too compelling for me to ignore. So I gotta go there. Partaking of the divine nature. That's the phrase. You can write that down, underline it, circle it. Partaking of the divine nature. What this literally means is that we have been blessed to be participants in the very life of God itself. We have been called and chosen and blessed to be not just people that have been converted, but we have been invited to be participants in the life of the living God. Partakers of the divine nature, called to experience the very life of God. As I was meditating on this, what my wife saw, but she couldn't really, you know, she saw something was going on, she couldn't really describe it, is there was a big, this is it in my spirit. This is it. Eureka! Wow! Boom! Because I thought, this is startling truth that all of us have been caught up in Christ. And this is that truth that we try to describe with one another in countless ways. When we get together and we say it one way and then somebody says something else and we say, yes, that's it. And we hear it one and say, yes, that's it. That's got to be it. And then somebody says it another way and that's it too. We are caught up in the magnificence of the divine nature. We are participants in the life of God himself. No wonder we're flipping and stumbling and bumbling. And no wonder all of our words strain. And no matter how many times it's said in the scripture, they find another way to say it. And then they just say, well, it's unsearchable. They can't figure it out. We can't figure it out no matter how articulate we are. We can't really just harness it. Why can't we harness it? Because it is the life of God himself that we've been called to be participants in. We've been invited to partake in a divine excursion, if you will, which by definition is a departure, a deviation from a regular path, a regular level of operation. It's an excursion of wonders. We've been called into an adventure that is unpredictable and unfathomable. And that's why it's unbelievable. And this is not the only place here in 2 Peter. This is not the only place where it's described or where there's an attempt to describe it. We also find it in other language that we find in the New Testament. This phrase, as they grappled with, how do we explain this thing that we've been caught up in, that we've been called to? Here's one way, partakers of the divine nature, but that's not the only way. We also see sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We regeneration, meaning rebirth. We see Christ dwelling in us and us dwelling in Christ. We see abiding in him as a branch and he abiding in us. We see members of his body. Of his body. We're joined to him in one spirit, the scripture says. All of these phrases describe aspects of partaking of the divine nature, what it means. So today, I want to talk about an aspect of participating in the divine nature. And you know what it is? Experiencing his glory. Experiencing his glory. You know, it says, you can write this verse reference down. All of this is under the context of partaking of the divine nature. But 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, when he made the heavens and the earth, and he spoke into the darkness, and he said, let light shine out of darkness. It says, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory that is displayed in the face of Christ. He spoke into the darkness of our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I wrote about this past week. A character in a nighttime drama derisively referred to God as some magic man in the sky, I wrote. And I've heard people say such things in real life. Well, some mythical person up in the air. And it hurts because they are talking about my Savior and they're talking about my friend. For the record, God is spirit. He's not the wind. He's not the wind, but he's like the wind. You cannot see it, but you know it's there by its effects that are visible by your personal experience of it. When it blows your hat off your head. People who think God is a magic man in the sky, a sort of glorified Santa Claus, they simply don't understand the picture. After his resurrection, Jesus, the Christ, who lived on this earth and walked among us, he became flesh and walked among us. After his resurrection, Jesus physically appeared to more than 500 people at one time. After showing himself alive over 40 days, just so his disciples would understand that they weren't imagining him, or that he wasn't an hallucination or wishful thinking. After a period of 40 days, he then ascended above the clouds, the scripture says, and the clouds received him before their very eyes. Now, we do not know how high he ascended. He may have disappeared into another realm or a dimension that is just above or parallel to earth, even though invisible. We don't know exactly where heaven is. No one does. So people who say such things make a mockery of what they do not understand. And yet, not even the best explanation, not even the most powerful testimony, not even the strongest proof will satisfy someone who is determined to believe. Jesus himself said such a person will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Amen. So I was reminded in pondering this. It is only grace that opens our eyes to see Jesus for who he truly is. It is only grace that opens our eyes to see Jesus for who he truly is, the living one who was dead and is now alive forevermore. You subtract his grace from the equation. You subtract his grace from what we believe. You subtract his grace from what we now profess. And what we have is some magic man in the sky. That's who he will be to us as well. So this is why I love this verse, because God spoke into the darkness of our hearts. And he gave us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ, in the person of Christ. He said, I want you to see my glory, so I'm going to open your eyes to the magnificent gift that I've given mankind, that is the gift of gifts, that is the key to all blessings, and it is Jesus himself. And because of that, we now are exposed day in and day out to the glory of God in a unique way. Now, in one sense, all mankind is exposed to the glory of God, because what is known of God may be seen by what clearly seen, the scripture says, by what has been made, by everyone. Mm-hmm. But there is an aspect, a deeper, a real revelation of glory that belongs to the sons of glory and the daughters of glory. We know Jesus as the living one because God spoke, let there be light, into Ivan's heart. He spoke, let light into Neola's heart. And all of us individually, that's why we see Jesus for who he is. And that's why he's not some nebulous spiritual concept. Because of the glory that God has exposed us to in the face of Christ. And because of this glory, here are three things that we do. First, we reflect his character. Because of that glory unleashed in our lives, we begin to reflect his character. Some of the specifics of this character are mentioned in the verses that follow here in 2 Peter. We look at 2 Peter 1 through 4. Well, verses 5 through 7 speaks about the kind of glory that God is manifesting in us. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. Here's the idea. The more we partake of the divine nature, brothers and sisters. See, it's not about trying to pick off these areas one by one and trying to get them all implemented in our lives like some strategic plan. That's not how it works. The more we partake of the divine nature, the more we find empowerment to escape the corruption of the world, and not just escape the lies and deception of the world, but as I said last week, escape into abundance and escape into freedom, the freedom that God intends for us to have. But that comes as a result of partaking of the divine nature. We reflect his character, and that's how glory shows up in our lives. One way. But here's the big kahuna. You've heard before. I'm not going to go there. This is the big kahuna that had me pacing this morning. It has to do also with real life experiences. When I talk about partaking, when I talk about experiencing his glory, the second thing here is real life experience. Real life experience. God does not close us off to life. God does not close us off to life out there. He doesn't quarantine us. He doesn't wall us in from the rest of life. That's not how it works. He's not like an over-controlling, over-protective parent. That's not the picture. What he does is he makes everyday life more vividly alive. This past Tuesday, I found myself thanking the Lord for blessing me with what I called, Lord, thank you for blessing me with this supernatural ordinary Tuesday. And it's the truth. It was a supernatural, ordinary Tuesday because there was nothing else on my agenda that was going to be exciting and big and, you know, it was going to be a routine day. But I said, thank you, Lord, for this supernatural, ordinary Tuesday. It's supernatural because a supernatural being who knows me, who loves me, who has plans for me and plans in me, lives inside of me and goes with me wherever I go in my journey on this ordinary Tuesday. And that makes it a supernatural, ordinary Tuesday. And every day my eyes pop open is supernatural because of the one who lives in me. Now, I'm going to reword, I'm going to say a phrase three times because I want you to hear the phrase and I want you to remember I said it because I don't want any phone calls, I don't want any letters, I don't want any emails, I don't want anybody showing up at my house, I don't want anybody talking about me behind my back, I don't want any of that. So I'm going to say this, rightfully so, rightfully so. Rightfully so. I said it three times. Rightful. Did you hear me say it? What did I just say?
Rightfully so.
Amen. So we're on the same page. Here's what I want to say. Many Christian speakers and many Christian pastors and authors, including me. What did I just say there? Including me. Okay. Caution us against following experiences over the revealed truth of God in his word. Rightfully so. I said it again. What did I say?
Rightfully so.
So do I. The scripture said his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It says that all scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. So where experience contradicts direct instruction from the scriptures. We must be wary of the experience, not of the word. Be wary of the experience, not of the word. Everything that is spiritual is not from the spirit. It very well may be spiritual, but that does not mean it is from the spirit. And that is why Paul exhorted the Corinthians to test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. Because you can have a spiritual experience and there's no doubt about it. I remember when I worked many years ago at with Michael in Lansing, my boss would call me into his office and talk to me about my faith. And he really wanted to try to penetrate and figure out where I was and contrast it with his own faith. And he said, and he was not a believer, and he said, you know, I sat in the middle of my floor and a spirit appeared in my room and came up to me and touched me on my head. And he was saying that as though my faith is as valid as yours, because I had a spiritual experience too. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it is from the Spirit of God. I've had spiritual experiences. Before I became a believer, I had powerful spiritual experiences, but they were not of the Spirit. Now, that being said, that being anchored, that being where you now know where I'm coming from, that being said, let me say this. There is more to the glory of God than what is written on the words in this book. There is more to the glory of God than reading the words in this book. This is the word of God. It is one avenue that God uses to communicate his glory to us. Even the scripture itself says there are other avenues. God is the living God. He's alive. He's a personage. He's not a human, but he's a person. And he can't be locked up and boxed in any more than you can be. What if somebody took your book and said, this is all there is to John? No. This is John, but this isn't all there is John. This is the word of God, but this is not all there is to God.
Amen.
And we know this.
Amen.
We know this. Because if you are like me, you have seen spiritual parallels in movies.
Amen.
And you don't have a verse for it, but it's like that's the truth. And many times it does connect to a verse. A principle.
Amen.
We see highlights in nature that point us to our Creator. We resonate with his praises in music. Not just in Christian songs, but sometimes as clearly in secular music as in a gospel song.
Amen.
And we know this.
Amen.
So you know what I'm talking about. And then he does take his word and he serves familiar truth in a fresh way. And so here we are looking at verses that we've seen forever.
Amen.
And heard forever. And the Lord makes it fresh. How in the world does he do? It's the glory of God. Is the glory of God that we've been called to experience as part of partaking of the divine nature. There are what I call heart touches. That's what I call them, but you've experienced them. Those moments with the Lord where he made a point especially poignant to you.
Amen.
And you knew it was from him.
Amen.
And it touched your heart in a way that made you dance or made you shout or made you smile or made you cry. And you couldn't help it.
Amen.
What is that?
Amen.
It is the glory of God. My sister had an experience the other day where the Lord gave her an object lesson in compassion. She had to call me up and tell me about it. But there weren't a whole lot of other people that she felt free to talk to about it.
Amen.
But she knew that I would understand that thing because it was weird. But the object of the lesson was clear. And it fit within the guidelines and within the principles of Scripture, but it wasn't an experience that the Scripture talks about. But it was an experience that gave her a super abundant dose of compassion. And she just kept saying that over and over again. It was the Lord teaching me compassion on another level. And she said, my life's never going to be the same. I said, no, it's not. Because he birthed something. He hatched something in you that you experience today, but it may not even be for today. It may be for next week or the week after that. But he has done something in you. And you knew, and you experienced it.
Amen.
And yes, it is life-changing. Those are what I call heart touches. And some of them are extended, some of them are brief. But you know what I'm talking about. The Scripture doesn't say anything directly or explicitly about heart touches, but we know what they are, and we've experienced them. That's what I mean by it's not all just contained in the Scripture. Now, if there was a verse that says, beware of heart touches, they're from the devil, I can't be walking around saying hallelujah for the heart touches, because the Scripture has told me what that is. I'm just trying to free us to think more than just on a cognitive level about our relationship with the Lord, because it's not just intellectual, and we know that. We know that. And yet, all these things, these examples that I just mentioned, they're like a photograph. They capture his glory in a moment in time. The way that we might photograph a friend standing at the Lincoln Memorial. The photograph captures a real moment, but the moment passes. And it's not a substitute for the relationship. Keep looking at the picture, that doesn't person there. It's like when you've lost a loved one, it's like a picture does not bring the person back. And after that moment has passed, the blessing for us is realizing that the Lord is with us even when that special moment has passed. We don't idolize the moment. We memorialize it sometimes. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They would memorialize the moment, but don't idolize the moment. Because the Lord is bigger than the moment. The Lord is bigger than the experience. And sometimes we want to replicate something, and the Lord says, that's old news. We want to conjure that old moment back up. And the Lord says, I'm done with that. Let's keep going. We got more things to see. We've got more places to visit on this excursion than where you've been. Remember it so that your faith in me for the next moment grows. But don't idolize that moment. Don't idolize that experience. There's plenty more where that came from. Because I'm infinite, and I am not a one-trick pony. And I will show up in big ways that will dazzle you, and small ways that will blow your mind. That's who you serve. That's why I keep talking about get to know him. You hear what I'm saying? This is the one that I'm talking about getting to know. Not just verses about him. Get to know him. Him, the living one. And he is the one that opens our eyes to see that him. You just keep knocking. You just keep asking. You just keep seeking. You just keep wanting. You keep desiring. You say, Lord, I want you. You know, we ask the Lord, we begging for stuff that's material stuff. We begging for circumstantial stuff. Begging for this. And he will open your mind and open your heart and open your spirit in a way that you never thought possible. Fresh disclosures about him always lie ahead. He is always greater than our most glorious descriptions of him. And that's why I like what the Message version says of Isaiah 46:5. The Lord says, so to whom will you compare me? To whom will you compare me? The incomparable. Can you picture me without reducing me? That's Isaiah 46:5 in the Message. Jesus said this in John 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will disclose myself to him. The Amplified Version says, I will make myself real to him. I will make myself feel to you in a way that eclipses anything you thought possible. I will make myself real to you in the deepest depths of your being. So that when you hear someone call me the magic man in the sky, who are you talking about? That's not the God I know. The God I know is the living God who is active in my life. I came to Christ because I felt the limitations of the material world. And I felt the limitations of human relationships. That's why I became a believer. I did not become a believer because I was afraid of going to hell. Some people, if that gets you there, be scared. But that's not what happened for me. What happened for me is I felt the limitations of the material world. There was nothing that was in it that I felt I could get that would take care of what I was missing. And it scared me to death because when there's nothing on the planet that you want that can fill what you're missing, what is there? But frustration and fear and desperation. And agony. And that's what drove me to call out to God. And I knew it wasn't a relationship. I knew that. On the other hand, by contrast, now that I'm in Christ, and I've been in Christ for 43 years, what I feel every day is not the limitations of Christ, but the vastness of Christ. I feel how unsearchable he is, how magnificent he is, how beyond he is. He's a toy I can't figure out. He's a gadget that I can't figure out all the features of. He's a book that I can't finish reading. He's a movie that never ends. He's a song that keeps on going. And just when you think it's about to wind down, it kicks into another refrain. That's who he is. He is the infinite living one. And he has chosen you and me to partake of his divine nature, to sample his infiniteness now and throughout eternity. Yeah. And he's given and he's chosen to share his perspective with us. That's the final thing there. Reflecting his character, real life experience, and sharing his perspective. 10 years ago, Josh Hamilton, some of you may have heard the name if you're sport people, Josh Hamilton, an outfielder for the Texas Rangers. He was a star player, the face of the franchise, an all-star. He tossed the ball into the stands to a dad who was begging him to throw him the ball so he could give it to his little boy. While attempting to catch the ball, the dad, who was a 39-year-old firefighter, leaned over too far and fell to his death. And what should have been an unforgettable moment for that little boy between a father and a child turned to be the most unforgettable tragic event that this young boy will ever experience in his life, no doubt. The sports article said that Josh was relying on his Christian faith to deal with it. He's a strong believer. And it quoted him as saying, you pray and you just understand that we live in a fallen world. And things you try to do, that are good, things that you try to do to make people happy or put a little joy in their day, sometimes things just go wrong. And he said, you just trust God. Now, when I talk about sharing God's perspective, you know, a couple of weeks ago I talked about my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And that's the truth. But even though that is true, our thoughts are not his thoughts, the Lord often shares his perspective with us in proportions that we can digest. In proportions that we can digest. And that's what he did with Josh in this moment. He shared a perspective with him that he could digest. And how gracious is God to do that for us?
Yeah.
He doesn't say, you don't understand my thoughts completely, so I'm not telling you anything. No, I'm going to share with you my truth in proportions that you can understand. Amen. And that will help you in your process. Amen. As you go through life. Now, there's a twist to this, because if you Google Josh Hamilton, you'll find that he's not what many would consider the model Christian. He's had bouts with drugs and alcohol that had led to terrible consequences and terrible behavior on his part, which I don't even need to name. But he said, I got away from the one thing that kept me narrow, and that was my relationship with the Lord. That should always come first. Hopefully some good will come out of this. That was after one of his episodes. But after that realization, things got worse. He's been arrested now for physically assaulting his daughter. And as I speak right now, in 2020, he was charged with felony assault, meaning charges that could lead to 10 years in prison. But why do I share that? I share that to make one statement. The Lord does not stop sharing with us just because we struggle.
Amen.
The Lord is just as present in Josh Hamilton's life today as he ever was. Josh may go to jail. Who knows what may happen because of the consequences of his choices. But the glory of God will shine in that cell. Let me tell you. The glory of God will shine in that cell as brightly as it shines through the church windows on Sunday morning. Because the Lord is not like people. You see, you hit a bump in the road and people want to kick you to the curb.
Man, come on.
Josh Hamilton was no longer the face of the franchise. He was no longer on the cereal box because he had some problems, because he had some issues. I was telling my wife about Sandy Petty, a glorious gospel singer most of us in this room know about. Sandy was the shining star of contemporary Christian music until she had an affair. And the Christian world kicked her to the curb. Amen. And she never ascended to the levels that she had achieved prior to that.
Amen.
Am I saying that it's great to have a drug problem and an alcohol problem? Am I saying that what you do because you have a drug and alcohol problem or whatever your problem is, am I saying that what you do to other people is okay? Am I saying there are no consequences for those things? No. What I'm saying is God does not withhold revealing his glory to us because we do bad things. It's called grace, brothers and sisters. It's called grace. And I'll bet you, if you could talk to Josh, he would say, I wish I hadn't done any of that. And you talk to many of us, not just him, talk to many of us, and we look back on our choices and we say, if I had it to do over again, I would do that again.
Amen.
But thank you, Jesus, that you didn't kick me to the curb and say, I'm done with you, and it's all the glory you're ever going to get because you messed up. And boy, does the Lord remind us, as my wife was sharing with me this morning, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And it says that before they could stone this woman, they start dropping their stone, starting with the oldest. And my wife said, yeah, if I was one of those people with a stone, I'd have just dropped mine and pretend like I wasn't there. We are not to glorify bad behavior, deeds of darkness, evil. We just read here in 2 Peter where he said, put that stuff aside. Pursue moral excellence. But when it comes to the glory of God, don't think that the dispensing of his glory is dependent upon your performance.
All right, come on, bro.
Because it is not. He exhorts us to live higher. But his grace is sufficient for where we are. And where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. His grace shows up in bigger ways when the need is greater. When the problems are bigger, when the sin is the messiest. That's all. I'm done. Let's stand for our benediction. Lord, I don't know what else to say, but thank you. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. And we are partakers of the divine nature. Thank you for your promises of what you're going to do. And thank you for the promises that have been fulfilled and that are ours and that we're enjoying because of Christ. Lord, I pray for each brother and sister in this room and everyone viewing. That, Lord, you would take these truths and open our eyes to be able to embrace them in a way that impacts our ordinary supernatural Monday. And we thank you for this gathering of your people. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let's all say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, it's ready. Good to see you.